include a special condition clause in the contract for the seller to sign building work and town planning applications if required. Negotiate directly with the owner of the property wherever possible and confirm all instructions and negotiations in writing. Process upon acceptance of offer. On signing a contract, ensure that you organise a cover note for building and public liability insurance over the entire property. Consider if contents insurance is also required, for example, in a furnished property. Deposit is paid to the deposit holder and held in a trust account. Original contract goes to the purchaser, you. Copy of the contract sent to the seller's lawyer. Ensure contracts have been sent to all parties involved. Take action on contract conditions and note condition due dates in a diary and comply with accordingly. Advise your financial broker, financier of the signed contract, provide them a copy and instruct to progress with finance approval. Keep vendor or vendor's agent informed regularly. Conditional phase. Instruct solicitor to carry out all searches including easements, covenants, caveats and other encumbrances, etc. Meet on site with key team members to finalise the due diligence. Carry out required inspections, tests and reports, for example, build and pest, site survey, specialist reports like flood, disability, compliance, etc. Coordinate finance approval. Obtain quotes for all works required. Unconditional phase. Continue to obtain quotes for all works required. Engage contractors, consultants, etc. Consultants progress designs and reports if required. Conduct specialist assessments and reports if required. Lodge approval applications and compliance documents if required. Settlement phase. Liaise with the finance broker, financier, to ensure that they are prepared for settlement. Inspect the property a day or two prior to settlement to ensure it is in the condition that you expect it to be in, based on the contract. Make sure your lawyer does a final land title search the day prior to settlement. If the property is leased, consider if landlord-tenant protection insurance is warranted, and if so, take it out. If tenanted, liaise with the property manager prior to settlement to ensure you will be noted as the new owner and that they have your current account details for rent payment. Have electricity account changed to your name if vacant possession on settlement or if utilities are included in the rent paid. These need to be provided by you and hence in your account name. Step 12. Finance. Securing finance. Determine your personal finance capability. Make a preliminary finance application. Look for a lender or broker that specialises in executive leasing, short-term rental properties. Ensure that you deal with a lender, broker that understands your needs. Ensure that contracts are subject to finance. Determine interest rates, charges and fees and negotiate the terms. Lodge your application with a commercial finance broker or department. Where possible, and if it suits your strategy and lending capacity, get finance for the entire project, including renovation works if applicable. Make sure that you include all of the relevant documentation in your application. Advise the finance broker institution that the property is under contract and subject to finance and potentially other conditions. Provide them with a copy of the contract. Complete a finance application submission and present it to the broker. What to include in your application for finance? Introduction, financial proposal, commitment. Site information, mapping, description, profile of clients and visitors. Quotes for renovation works if being included in the finance application. Demographic and target markets for clients, visitors. Cash flow analysis, evidence of current rental income. Rental appraisals if different from current rents. Property manager's leasing agency experience. Timeline of workflow. Conclusion, double check that all the figures are correct. Risk assessment. Supply a report of your financial history, assets and cash flow and property experience. Get a copy of your credit report from a credit reporting body like VIDA and make sure it is correct. If there are any issues with your credit rating, ensure that they are cleared up prior to applying for finance. Offer the subject site as your security and be wary of cross-securitisation with other property you own. finance approval. Read and make sure you understand your loan documents and fees. Instruct your lawyer to perform title searches on the day of settlement. Arrange a time and date for your lender to present your check. If applicable, instruct contractors and consultants to book in commencement of work immediately after settlement. Ask for written confirmation. Step 13. Undertaking conversion, renovation, maintenance works. Refer to the renovation section of Module 10 for a detailed checklist of the renovation process. Step 14. Compliance, development approval requirement. From your research in Step 3, demonstrate fulfillment of compliance requirements and lodge documentation for approval as required. If council development approval is required, refer to the development approval section of Module 10 for a detailed checklist of the process. Step 15, advertising for rent. Prior to marketing your property, periodically research the other properties available for executive leasing, short stay basis, that you will be competing against. What is their rental rate, days on the market, the quality of their photos, their copy and description? Discuss your property with your shortlisted property management agents, leasing agents, and request their feedback on rental price resistance levels for your type of product. What rental price would they recommend for your product? Current supply and demand, recommended marketing strategy, and marketing costs, if any. Record this data for future reference. Identify how you can make your property stand out, for example, professional photos, targeted copy that highlights your property. Decide on a rental price you can offer based on your research. Update your feasibility analysis with the proposed rental prices. Commencement of marketing. Prepare the written copy for your advertising, incorporating the features that will attract occupants based on your due diligence. Have professional photographs taken, including aerial view photos, if appropriate. Monitor inquiries and prospective occupants, clients, visitors' feedback, so you can address as required. Follow up the property manager weekly for feedback on progress. Step 16, accounting and tax. Accounting and tax in general. Enlist the services of a qualified accountant that specialises in real estate. Determine the tax implications prior to buying the property so that you understand your obligations, for example, income tax, capital gains tax, GST, land tax. Put structures in place to minimise risk and maximise tax benefits. If you are doing significant renovation works, discuss with the accountant if it is beneficial to have a depreciation schedule prepared prior to renovation works to maximise depreciation of demolished items. Ensure that you have a depreciation schedule prepared for the finished product on completion of renovation works so as to maximise the tax benefits. Determine the bank account to be used for paying holding costs and for receiving rents. Create a system for filing invoices and recording all payments. Submit all relevant documents to your accountant annually or more regularly if required. Step 17, valuation and refinancing. On completion of the project, and once you have a history of occupation, consider if it is appropriate to have the property revalued and refinanced. Discuss the revaluation and refinancing process with your mortgage broker and confirm the timing. For example, they may recommend a 6-month gap between the purchase valuation and revaluation. Research market values of comparable properties and prepare relevant information for the valuer, including recent comparable sales and comparison to your property, copy of your occupancy agreements, and summary of the rental rates and occupancy duration, terms, etc. Description of your property's features, including list of completed renovation works, if applicable. Consider if it is appropriate for you to engage and pay for your own valuation prior to getting the bank valuation. Wherever possible, meet with every valuer on site and provide them with your research. If you have had your own valuation done and you are happy with it, provide it to the bank's valuer both prior to them arriving on site and at the site meeting. Step 18. Celebrate your learning and project review. Celebrate your learning and profit. At key milestones throughout the project, remember to celebrate your successes. On completion of the project, make time to celebrate your achievements, not only monetary, but also the learning that you had, the experience that you gained, and the personal development that you experienced. Project review. On completion of the project, undertake a review. Complete an actuals feasibility of the project, detailing the actual costs, income and cash flow, and the market value. List down your learnings, what worked, what didn't work, what you would do differently next time, and how you could improve. Add the project learnings to your master checklist for this strategy so that you are continually improving on your process. 4. Commercial property. This checklist covers commercial properties, both general and specific commercial properties. A general commercial property includes the likes of industrial sheds, industrial hard stand, commercial space, for example, office, retail, medical, etc. Specialist commercial includes storage sheds, car washes, caravan parks, hostels, backpackers, motels, aged care, childcare, etc. Typically, with the more specialised commercial, you are buying a business real property. Hence, there is a business component along with the underlying property component. Regardless of whether you are managing the business or whether your tenant is running a business, significant due diligence needs to be undertaken on the business, as its success will impact on the success of the property. As with the other checklists in this module, there are numerous ways of undertaking commercial property, and each differs in the level of complexity. Detailed below are examples of the different options listed in order of complexity. 1. Purchase a tenanted commercial property, for example, leased industrial shed. 2. Purchase a vacant commercial property and source a tenant, for example, a vacant industrial shed. 3. Purchase a going concern freehold business where you own the underlying real estate and the business. This is what we call business real property. For example, purchase an existing operating storage shed complex on freehold land or an existing operating freehold caravan park. 4. Develop from scratch. For example, obtain council development approval to build a commercial building and then have it tenanted, or develop a storage shed complex and set up the business from scratch, or lease it out to an operator. For the purpose here, and in order to cover as many scenarios as possible, this checklist will be based on purchasing a going concern freehold business real commercial property, such as storage sheds. In fact, a storage shed deal will be the real deal example profiled throughout. If the intention is to develop a commercial property from scratch, however, then the development application checklist in the previous module should be combined with this checklist. This is because the process of development approval is very similar, regardless of the property type. Hence, this checklist is as relevant to developing a commercial property as it is to developing a residential multi-unit complex. The emphasis in this checklist will also be holding for cash flow rather than for resale. If, however, resale is the intention, Module 10 checklists include a significant component on the sales process. Step 1. Cycle of the commercial property market. Research the trend of the market and where investors are investing. Investors invest where they can get the best return on their money. When markets are trending, investors tend to move towards the trending markets, herd mentality. Research if the commercial property market is trending and where in the cycle you are buying in. When the share market is moving, investors tend to pull out of real estate and move into shares. And when residential property is trending, commercial tends to be more subdued, which is the natural movement of the market, and you just need to understand where in the cycle you are buying in. Research the impact of interest rates on the current market. When interest rates rise and the relative yield on commercial properties declines, alternative investments may become more appealing and money may flow away from commercial property into more secure investments like term deposits. Research the market sentiment. What is investor and buyer confidence? Macroeconomic factors that affect the availability of borrowed money and in turn what the banks are prepared to lend on, the LVR and interest rate, will affect the value of commercial property. Hence, important to research factors including global money market, exchange rates, international and reserve bank interest rates and sentiment, Australia's Standard and Poor's ranking, balance of trade, availability of foreign capital. For example, the more money in the system, the more confident the market, the more stable the market, and the more likely commercial values will increase. Step 2. Define your personal circumstances and strategy. Define your personal circumstances to better understand the type of commercial property that suits your needs. Detail your personal circumstances, including what is your available equity, borrowing capacity, and serviceability. What is your time availability? Do you intend to be the hands-on manager or use a management company? How far are you prepared to travel? Is your strategy to hold long-term? What is your level of experience? What is your risk profile? Define your strategy. Is it a short or long-term investment? There are different considerations if it is a flip deal versus a long-term hold deal. For example, flipping requires a strong market to sell back into. Is it a cash flow or growth deal? This will be influenced by your equity position. Natural market growth is affected by the market strength, and so location has an impact. For example, typically higher growth is more metro locations versus regional. Is your involvement going to be passive or active? This will be impacted by your personal circumstances, including your time availability, your capacity to travel, your previous experience, etc. Step 3. Select your target commercial property type. Based on your personal circumstances, your equity, your research on commercial market trends, select your target commercial property type. Commercial offices range from individual offices to multi-story office buildings. Larger buildings can be complex due to the complex structure, being strata titled in nature, and the many services provided. These can be costly to maintain and manage, for example, lifts and air conditioning. The look is significant and the decor needs to be up to date. Medical offices and centres. Generally very consistent tenancies that are easy to let, easy to refill, and tenants generally stay for 10 to 20 years. Yields are normally consistently strong from 8 to 12%. Entry prices can be low, ranging from a few $100,000 up. Industrial buildings. Lowest entry point into commercial style property. Simplest class of commercial and cheapest. Easiest to understand and highest cash return. Usually simple box construction with office partitioned off, hence cheap to build and maintain. Less reliant on foot traffic, so site location is less influential. However, they are often best conglomerated together so the businesses feed off each other. Also, council likes to keep industries together. Retail buildings range from single shops, strip shops, through to small shopping centres and shopping malls. Price range from less than $100,000 for a single shop up to hundreds of millions for whole shopping malls. Simpler construction than office buildings, being a simple box-type construction with an architectural frontage. Retail is very site-conscious because location is everything when in retail business, as it can be greatly dependent on foot traffic. Bigger bulk retail centres are tending to go further out into more industrial areas, but by grouping together, create a destination for shoppers. Mixed use, multiple income properties. Combination of retail and residential, or retail and industrial, or offices and retail and or residential. Reduced risk because the number of different tenants running different businesses or being used for a number of different purposes, hence the likelihood of 100% vacancy is low, meaning you are always likely to have someone paying rent. Offers diversify by having exposure to a number of different sectors. Special purpose commercial. Properties with particular zoning, design, characteristically designed for particular industry or business, for example, storage sheds, sporting facilities, for example, squash courts or tennis courts, childcare centres, recreation facilities, for example, theme parks, tourist destinations, for example, the cheese, ginger factories, industrial buildings with specific design criteria, retirement and aged care facilities. The market cycle and trend of this particular industry will influence this property class, and they tend to carry some risk given the target market for leasing and resale is smaller. Step 4. Location research. based on your personal circumstances and your defined strategy, determine what type of region you are targeting, including metro areas, regional areas, mining and resource areas. Review on a map and list all the locations that meet your personal circumstances and region type. For example, metro area within a distance that you are prepared to travel, say maximum of 1 hour if you are hands-on managing, within your risk profile, at a price point that meets your budget, etc. Narrow this down to the top 5 locations of interest that meet your criteria. Research locations of interest and shortlist 3 target locations. For each of the 5 locations above, research their specific supply and demand fundamentals, including population size and growth, employment diversity and job creation, business movement, income profile, industry spending, government infrastructure spending, supply and demand, rental affordability, rental vacancy rate, council's attitude to development. Based on the above research, shortlist the top 3 target locations that meet your personal circumstances and have the most favourable supply and demand characteristics. These might be 3 regions, 3 regional towns, or 3 suburbs. For each of your 3 target locations, research the population growth, employment growth, demographics and forward projections, and educate yourself about the area and the residential and commercial real estate industry in general. At the end of the day, this is still an investment property and you want it located in the best area possible for price growth and stability. Commercial property trends also tend to lag behind residential trends, and so understanding the residential trends is important. For storage sheds in particular, the more prosperous a residential area, the more likely they are to spend money on storage and the more things they will have to store. Hence the importance of understanding the residential housing market as well. Set up a spreadsheet with area information for easy reference, including maps, research results, research sources, contact details, etc. Step 5. Strategy research from a supply and demand perspective. For each of your 3 target locations, educate yourself on the demand for the commercial property type you have selected, for example, industrial buildings or medical offices or storage sheds, etc. Research the following sources, storage shed, for example. Industry associations, for example, Self Storage Association Australia and Australasia. Commercial real estate agents that specialise in storage shed properties for sale and lease. Specialist self-storage industry consultants and specialist commercial consultants that research the demand for specific end uses, for example, storage sheds. Self-storage franchising companies, online and newspaper ads for self-storage, etc. Local real estate agents that may get inquiries for storage or that may rent storage sheds. Local residential real estate sources that can characterise the residential market trends and hence relate this to potential storage shed demand. Consider running your own internet ad or creating a mock website or newspaper advertisement to advertise potential self-storage and assess the response. From these same sources, research what the target market wants in this type of commercial property. For self-storage, this research would include location, for example, proximity to residential, industrial or commercial areas. What type of residential areas, for example, more affluent suburbs? What proximity to competitors, for example, too close is not good. Position, for example, main road thoroughfare, visible road frontage, corner block for easy side street access for larger trucks, etc. Storage style, for example, self-storage, access versus limited access, 24-hour access versus business hours, ground level access versus multi-storey, secure document storage, controlled temperature storage, for example, for wine collections and documents, hard stand storage for cars, boats, jet skis, etc. Size of storage, for example, shipping container, garage size down to locker size, cubic meter size increments. Security provided, for example, camera surveillance, keypad access, etc. Additional services offered, for example, document disposal, vehicle cleaning, sourcing and shipping goods, etc. Specific features, for example, ease of parking. storage rates for each storage style offered, discount for longer duration storage. Step 6. Mapping and profiling the existing market. Map existing commercial properties and precincts. For each of the three target locations, map the existing market for your chosen commercial property type. For example, map the existing industrial precincts, retail shopping buildings, or map existing storage shed facilities within, say, 50 kilometres. Websites like www.storagefinder can be useful in this research. Add to the map any infrastructure of importance to the target market. For example, for storage sheds, main road access for high visibility and ease of access, proximity to affluent residential areas, etc. For retail properties, proximity to other retail areas is important, as is exposure and easy access, for example, close to transport, parking, etc. Profile the existing market. Profile the existing market for your chosen commercial type from the information sources contacted in Step 5. For example, for self-storage, what is the trend for each area? For example, is it a business district that's becoming more popular? Is it static? Is it dying? Does it have potential to die in the future? Where business is trending greatly affects yields and ultimately values of commercial properties and should not be underestimated. What is the average duration a property remains vacant for between tenancies? For example, how long will it take me to get another tenant? Is it beneficial for this type of property or business to be located near its competitors? For example, car sales strips where multiple dealers congregate to create a destination for customers and each business feeds off the next. Or home improvement centres where a diversity of retail shops come together to create a focal destination for customers. Is the type of property, business, sensitive to proximity of competitors? For example, too many storage sheds in close proximity where the catchment area isn't large enough leads to vacancies, low yields and low property values. What is the capitalisation rate for the area? Profile existing properties and businesses. Contact the existing properties, businesses mapped above and research as much as possible their business, as it is vital to understand who your competitors are, what the strengths and weaknesses of their business are, and what factors make a successful business. For example, for each of the mapped storage shed facilities, inquire, what do they provide? What facilities do they offer for rent? Who do they service, their clientele, demographics and income? What is their catchment area? What volume of traffic passes the facility? What are their rental rates? What is their occupancy? Do they have waiting lists and for what? Do they have capacity to expand? Who manages the facility and how long have they been in business? Do they plan to retire or sell anytime soon? Profile for sale properties, businesses in target area and beyond. Research existing operators in your chosen property type whose property is for sale in order to better understand the industry. Properties, businesses outside your target locations are very useful for this research. If a freehold business is for sale and you present as a potential purchaser, a greater amount of information is likely to be disclosed to you on request. For example, for storage shed operations for sale, you would request income, rental rates and seasonality, running and holding costs, cash flow details, occupancy rates, client profile, management information, compliance, council, government, building code, etc., insurances, industry associations, marketing strategy, for example, internet, newspaper, flyers, yellow pages, etc., advertisements, photos, advertising copy, direct marketing, mass marketing, etc. Visit existing self-storage providers to better understand the industry. Develop a profile of what makes a good storage shed business. What are the typical operating costs, the income range, the factors that affect these parameters, and therefore the industry standards from which you can then compare your property or properties of interest. Gap analysis. If considering establishing a commercial property from scratch, for example, storage shed facility, conduct gap analysis. having mapped the location of all existing facilities and knowing the demographics of the areas they service and knowing what characteristics are essential to the success of this type of property and business, then identify on the map potential gaps that are not yet serviced by a storage facility. Research the main feeder roads into that area and the area demographics to highlight if the area has potential. Conduct further research and due diligence on potential gaps as per this module and module 10, development approvals. Step 7, deal finding. Use the various tools for finding properties on the market for sale and also properties off market. Commercial property websites, for example, realcommercial.com.au, commercialrealestate.com.au. Businesses for sale website, as often freehold property is sold with the business. For example, businessforsale.com.au, Investar, Domain, for sale by owner sites, etc. General websites advertising property, for example, Gumtree, Trading Post, etc. Commercial real estate agents, residential real estate agents, and buyer's agents. Specialist agencies and brokers, for example, tourismbrokers.com.au, resortbrokers.com.au. Business and property managers that may know owners interested in selling, talking to locals, letterbox drops, and door knocking. Use search items to identify potential properties on the internet and in talking to real estate agents and locals, for example, industrial, storage sheds, retail, etc. Use resources like Investar and RP Data to find potential properties not currently on the market. Step 8. Property due diligence, Part 1, General. Undertake detailed due diligence on the individual properties of interest. This includes due diligence on the underlying property, for example, the land, physical improvements, and existing lease or leases if in place. For business real property, where it's not only the property, but the business that's being sold, research is also required on the business itself, for example, storage shed business, caravan park business, etc. Commercial brokers are invaluable when doing research, as a good broker will have their finger on the pulse regarding what's happening in the area and what is a good deal. Talk to other agents in the area that are not selling the property. Explain to them what you are planning to do and spend on the property and get their feedback in terms of capacity to tenant once the works are done. You need the confidence that you will get a tenant before you are locked into the deal. An ideal commercial deal would have 1. A manufactured growth component, 2. Good natural growth potential due to location, rental rate increases and CPI increases over time in lease, 3. Positive cash flow. Step 9. Property due diligence, Part 2. Underlying property. The value of a commercial property is determined by the income that it produces. What's important is 1. The yield, 2. The strength and length of the lease, and 3. The strength of the tenant. Due diligence on the underlying property needs to cover the land and the physical improvements. A. Land tenure. Land tenure, freehold versus leasehold. Typically, freehold property is more valuable than leasehold. When considering leasehold property, the important questions are: who are you leasing from? Local, state, or federal government? Mining company, Indigenous land? What is the likelihood of the owners resuming the land and or the building? What is the length of the lease? What is the likelihood of being able to extend the lease? What is the process, the time frame, and likely costs? Is it possible to convert the leasehold to freehold, and if so, what are the likely costs? What is the market's perception of leasehold? For example, in the ACT, all property is leasehold, and there is no opportunity to buy freehold, so it is well accepted there. B. Location risk. Research the location characteristics and the risk of that location no longer being relevant for that usage. For example, the potential for the town centre to move, or medical precinct to move, or the industrial centre to move, leaving the current location out of demand for the usage, so no longer relevant over the long term, or for the period you intend to own it. An example may be if the town centre moves owing to the opening of a new shopping complex, the strip shopping area or mall where the property is located becomes less visited and hence a less desirable location to operate a business. This impacts on the capacity to attract a quality tenant and the property's cash flow and in turn capital value. New competition in the market can also be a risk to the older location. For example, a brand new commercial building or new industrial estate can result in the existing areas becoming less desired, which impacts on the tenant's business and ultimately yours. Small retail tenants like suburban shops can also suffer at the hands of the supermarkets and megastores, so you need to research and understand the potential for competition. The risk of losing the anchor tenant in a complex also needs to be considered, as it will likely adversely affect the adjoining properties. For example, Bunnings leaving the Bunnings complex to set up at a new site. Changing traffic flow can also be very impactful, both positively and negatively. For example, suburban retail areas and tourist accommodation can suffer from the opening of a new motorway that redirects traffic away from them, hence reducing their exposure. Conversely, other properties are advantaged by traffic moving away from them, as access and parking can become much easier, for example in offices. C. Property factors and appeal to tenants. Property factors impact on the appeal of a property from the tenant's perspective. For example, the property's condition, management, location, ease of access, capacity to leave the site in a forward motion, through to parking, all affect tenantability. Certain usages also have certain requirements. For example, with industrial buildings, important factors include stud height, door heights, transport access and visibility, and generally the bigger, the better. Hence, bigger access, more height, more car parking spaces, larger open spaces. Internally, it is more desirable where temporary dividers can be installed. D. Rental rate. Research the per square metre rental rate and if it varies with permissible use of the property. For example, a cafe in a commercial area may rent at a lower per square metre rate than the adjoining industrial building next door, despite both being the same square metre each size. Understand that the high cost of building in the CBDs is not significantly reflected in the rental return. E. Capacity to utilise property for multiple uses. Research the capacity to utilise the property for multiple uses, for example, industrial shed that can become a storage shed, a mechanics workshop, a distribution point, indoor sports centre, in comparison to a retail shop or cafe where the fit-out limits its future usage. Industry-specific specialist properties can be as positive and negative. If there is demand for that type of property, the tenant is likely to stay for a longer period. If tenant vacates, though, you are left with fewer options. On the flip side, some commercial properties are very costly to configure, for example, dental surgeries, where the specialist plumbing, drainage and electrical wiring can be very expensive to install. And hence a renovating and remodelling of older run-down surgeries with the infrastructure already in place and with existing permissible usage rights in place can be very profitable. With special purpose commercial properties, it's advantageous to have a backup plan to be able to change the usage of the property to a more mainstream property if the need arises. For example, turn caravan parks into retirement villages or vice versa. F. Industry-specific improvements. Industry-specific improvements can be a positive or a negative, depending on whether the improvement is in demand by tenants or whether it limits the potential tenant pool. For example, adding a mezzanine floor or offices to the front of an industrial building may add value and may be adaptable to a wide variety of tenants. Alternatively, adding a car hoist to a mechanic's workshop may limit the use of the space if the mechanic vacates. Conversely, specialist improvements like hoists, built-in shelving, tracks, loading ramps, etc. may be worthwhile and may be a benefit to the tenant, and their installation may lead to longevity of leases. G. Size of premises and affordability. Assess the size of the premises and its affordability for tenants to rent. For example, if the premises is too large, the pool of tenants that can afford to rent it is reduced. Smaller, self-contained office suites are easier to lease than whole floors. large box retail spaces are harder to rent than smaller, more affordable spaces. Confirm a need for the size and the type of the property. For example, office space in suburban and regional areas may be less in demand. Confirm that there is a demand for the type of the property. For example, demand for storage, demand for caravan park style affordable accommodation. H. Usage rights approval by council. Research to ensure that the existing usage of the property is council approved and compliant. For example, is the property approved for medical usage or for food preparation as a restaurant or cafe? Because not every commercial property can undertake all usages. Council will also have a raft of town planning and usage requirements that need to be adhered to, including zoning, land size, site cover, setbacks, car parking, driveway access, etc. Consult with a town planner to reveal this information. Confirm with council if complaints have been received about the property or if council has issued show cause notices. I. Building compliance and approval. Confirm that all built structures on site are council approved and comply with the Building Code of Australia. A builder certifier will be able to assist with this. Assess if any works are required to ensure compliance with the Building Code of Australia, for example, glass type, balustrade, stairs, etc. J. Equitable access compliance. The Federal Government's Disability Access to Premises Building Standards 2010 aims to provide people with disability with equitable and dignified access to public buildings and provide certainty to industry that they are complying with the Disability Discrimination Act 1992. Confirm if the property complies with the standard, is exempt from the standard, or if works are required to achieve compliance. K. Condition of existing property. Assess the condition, aesthetic appeal, and structural integrity of the property. For example, termite damage, dry rot, concrete cancer, rising damp, asbestos, cracking walls and foundation, substandard electrical and plumbing works, etc. Research general repairs, maintenance and renovation works required to the property. L. Property management. Will the property be self-managed or professionally managed? Generally, the tenant will maintain the property because it's in their best interest to do so for the running of their business. You, the landlord, typically are responsible for exterior maintenance, but this can be outsourced and then on charge to the tenant. M. Site-specific constraints. Research site-specific constraints that may affect the property now and in the future, including flooding, waterways in close proximity, overland flow, bushfire-prone area in close proximity, cultural heritage, demolition control, significant trees, soil type, swelling and cracking clays, contaminated site, easements, sewer, power, access ways, encroachments, survey the site, covenants, caveat or other encumbrances, notation on registered survey plan, neighbourhood disputes, council show cause notices, heritage listed buildings, above ground infrastructure at the front of the property that may affect future development potential, for example, power poles, road signs, general signage, bus stops, traffic lights, roundabouts, fire hydrants, public mailboxes, car parks, parking meters and substations, underground infrastructure, for example, manholes, disused septic tanks, buried water tanks, Telstra pits, shared services between neighbouring properties, for example, combined sewer drain, adjoining properties and structures next to the boundary, zero lot alignment, windows, doors, balconies, verandas, private open space location, heights above two-storey, usage, for example, higher density units, apartments, commercial, etc. Road hierarchy, class of the road, street and who manages it, visibility, access restrictions, capacity for bins out front, current plans and future plans re-resumption, planned changes re-traffic flow, intensity of traffic, on-street parking, changes to surrounding streets that may impact on yours, noise pollution, road, flight path, industry, birds and bats, etc. Air pollution, road and industry, subsidence, underground mining and earthworks, cyclone rating requirements for new build, body corporate review if a body corporate exists, earthquake, tsunami, sea level rise, crime rate. Note that some of the site-specific constraints may not be fully researched until later in your due diligence, once you know there is potential in the deal and that you want to put a contract on it. At that point, while the contract is in the conditional phase, may be the time that you do more thorough research on some of these less obvious constraints. N. Property's potential for future development. Capacity to add additional buildings. Capacity to add further fittings and fixtures. Capacity to divide existing property into multiple lettable spaces. Capacity to strata title. Existence of vacant land to further develop, for example, subdivide. Capacity to increase density in the future by partially or completely demolishing existing infrastructure. Step 10. Property due diligence. Part 3. Tenants' business. Conduct due diligence on the tenants currently leasing the property, including the lease terms, quality of the tenant's business, and tenant's competitors, because the value of the commercial property is greatly influenced by these factors. A. Existing lease term and considerations. Review existing lease terms and have those confirmed by a property lawyer. When taking over a lease, you need to know exactly what both parties are obliged to do, because once signed, it's legally binding. Things to be reviewed include: is the lease the original or a copy? Ensure that you see the original lease document, because a copy may have been altered and you will be bound by the original. Legal capacity. Confirm that all parties have legal capacity to enter into the lease and that they voluntarily consent. Signatures. Ensure that every page of the lease is signed by both the landlord and the tenant. Commencement date. Check if there are any conditions that may affect the commence date or delivery of possession of leased premises on or before a specific date. Conditions of the lease. Check if there are any conditions or obstructions to effectiveness of the lease, for example, obtaining zoning variance for tenants' intended business use, or the ability to obtain business or other licenses required for operation of the tenant's business. Rent. Confirm if the rent stated is net or gross, the amount payable, the due date, method of how rent is calculated in multi-tenanted properties, for example, per square metre. Rent review. What is the frequency of rent reviews? Typically every 3 years, because that is the opportunity to increase the yield and the value of the property. Does the rent review coincide with the lease renewal? It's best if they don't. That way the tenant can't say that if we don't agree on the rent, I won't renew the lease. Is the rent review linked to the CPI, Consumer Price Index? The benefit for both parties is that this gives some degree of certainty and can save on disagreements at rent review time. However, it may disadvantage the landlord as the CPI may not necessarily reflect commercial rent jumps in the area. Rent review date. Check deadline dates for rent reviews and what steps, if any, either party must take to indicate satisfaction of conditions, for example, written notice. Chattels. Who owns the chattels and are they comprehensively listed? This information is essential for calculating the depreciation and maintenance costs. The higher the value of the chattels making up the property purchase price, the larger the potential depreciation and tax saving. Security deposit. Are tenants in a multi-tenanted property required to pay this, and if so, how much and by when? Rights of renewal. A right of renewal, or ROR, gives the tenant the right to remain in the property until the end of the renewed term if they want to, and the landlord cannot evict them. For example, the initial lease of 5 years with three rights of renewal of 5 years each, written as 5 by 5 by 5 by 5. Note that the original 5 years is the only certainty in the lease term and the portion that the funding bank will acknowledge, and the other 15 years are seen as renewal options. Hence, the bank may want significant principal reductions over this 5-year period, not the 20 years when you take into account the renewals. A rule of thumb when negotiating a lease with ROR is if the tenant agrees to a 5-year term, be prepared to give a 5-year ROR, but no more. Beyond that time frame, the tenant can renegotiate with you at that time. Outgoings. Quantify. What are the outgoings, expenses associated with the property? Who pays for them? What percentage is payable by the tenant and the landlord? If you have multiple tenancies, is the percentage apportioned in accordance with floor space, for example, 15% to one, 20% to another, and ensure the figures total 100% or more to avoid being left with a shortfall payable by the landlord, as this will affect the net rental income stream. Local council rates are typically part of the outgoings paid by the tenants. The rates notices are sent to the landlord, though, who passes them on to the tenants for payment. So ensure you get evidence that they have been paid, because the onus to pay falls back onto the landlord, and you don't want overdue rates and penalty payments. In strata title properties like office buildings, review body corporate strata management costs, including ongoing management costs and services costs. For example, lifts, water systems, air conditioning systems, fire alarm systems, etc. Reinstatement, meaning that the tenant, on vacating, must return the building to the original condition, taking into account the normal wear and tear on the property. Ratchet clause. Less common are full ratchet clauses where the tenants are locked into paying higher rentals regardless of whether the market has, in fact, dropped. Soft ratchet clauses are more common and ensure that the rent will never go below the starting point. The rent can increase and decrease over the term of the lease, but even if the market rental decreases significantly, there is still a bottom figure. Banks are obviously in favour of ratchet clauses because they know you are guaranteed at least the starting figure. Insurance on the building. Who pays this? Typically, the tenant is responsible for this, but that can be dangerous because if the tenant is not conscientious and lets the insurance fall behind, then the building is not insured for incidents. Confirm if there are any special requirements for insurance. Who is obliged to repair or rebuild in the event of whole or partial destruction? Subleasing. The lease should stipulate if landlord consent is required for any assignment of the lease or subletting the property. Usage rights. Is the tenant's use of the premises limited to a specific business? Does the tenant have the right to change its use during the term of the lease, either with or without the landlord's approval? Usage restrictions. Are there specific restrictions on the tenant's use of the property? For example, prohibitions against nuisance, waste, unlawful purposes, storage of hazardous products, etc. Body corporate bylaws. Confirm what rules and restrictions govern the tenant and the landlord. Non-competitive clause. Confirm if this applies, meaning that no other tenants in the same business may tenant the same building. Alterations and improvements clause. Confirm if the tenant is permitted to make alterations or improvements to the leased space without the landlord's permission. Maintenance and repairs. Confirm who is responsible for maintenance and repairs of the premises. Effect of failure to meet lease conditions. Review the effect of failing to meet these conditions. Is it automatic lease cancellation, cancellation by written notice, or waiver of condition, or option of the party intended to benefit from the condition having the right to extend the deadline or cancel the lease? Covenants. Confirm if there are covenants on the property that restrict what the tenants can do. For example, restrict placement of outdoor furniture on a food outlet, or limitations on signage size, placement, location, or control over telecommunication, radio tower emissions. Deferred payments or rehabilitation on cessation of the lease, for example, rehabilitation of chemical manufacturers, dry cleaning industries, petrol stations. Termination rights. Understand if the occurrence of any event other than tenant's default gives either party the right to terminate the lease before its natural expiration. For example, landlord's sale of the property, tenant's loss of legal right to operate its particular business, total or permanent destruction of the premises, if the premises is condemned. In these circumstances, is the lease fully or partially terminated, or will rent be reduced pro rata or on some other basis? Purchase rights on first right of refusal. Confirm if the tenant has the option to purchase or right of first refusal to purchase. B. Quality of tenant's business. Review the quality of the tenant's business, and if it's in a growth industry, research the existing tenants, their lease, and the nature of their businesses, plus the risk profile of the tenant. The more successful the tenant's business, the more secure will be your income stream. If the tenant's business is making a loss, they are unlikely to be able to afford to pay the rent. The profitability of their business will also impact on their longevity in the business. For example, medical practitioners rarely go bankrupt and thus unable to pay the rent. Plus, they are typically very long-term tenants. Analyse the tenant's competition by doing a SWOT analysis on their business. Assess their strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Assess external factors that could impact on your tenant's business. For example, market cycles, government policy changes, for example, government international student policy and education, training organisations. They were severely impacted when the government started restricting student intake. Also, technology changes, for example, video stores are almost obsolete and music stores are dwindling too. Retail stores having to compete with online purchasing will also be affected. With the expansion of technology, many organisations are downsizing physically and are relocating away from the CBD. Hence, office space requirements have been downgrading over time. And with computers, the need for paper form storage, which is bulky and space-consuming, has reduced. Also, many more people are working from home nowadays. Step 11. Property due diligence, Part 4. Business worth, business real property. When buying a business real property, in addition to the underlying freehold property, there is also a business component being sold. And detailed due diligence on the worthiness of the business is required and includes researching financial statements, balance sheets and profit and loss statements, preferably audited for at least the past 3 years, income tax returns and assessments for the same 3 year period, including reconciliation of taxable income and profits for each year. Detailed expenses, for example, for a storage shed facility, these may include cleaning, mowing and garden, advertising, repairs and maintenance, management, rates and water, electricity, gas, insurances, property management, pest control, carpet cleaning, stationery, body corporate fees, land tax, smoke alarms inspections, council compliance inspections, security, surveillance, internet, phones, bookkeeping, accounting. Detailed income. For example, for a storage shed facility, these may include rental rates for the different types of storage on offer. For example, hard stand, different shed sizes, document storage, additional services offered, for example, sale of boxes, packing material, padlocks, trailer hire, etc. The method of payment, cash, credit card, funds transfer, etc. Current value of assets including the freehold. Details of any liabilities not included in the last balance sheet, for example, long service leave, superannuation payments. Financial statements since last year end. If not available, alternative financial data to allow analysis of trend of operations. Assess the current and future condition of the existing stock, premises, equipment and employees. Availability of raw materials or products if required by the business. Tenure of leased premises and prospect of renewal and terms. Condition of the building and likelihood of maintenance or replacement in the future. Likelihood of the existing employees staying on under new ownership and ease, difficulty of replacement. If business is being sold for up to $200,000, excluding price paid for stock at value and land if being sold with the business, a vendor's statement for the sale of the small business must be provided. Goodwill of the business, intangible factors that create the earning power of a business. Influencing factors include the lease on the premises, potential of the business, competition from other businesses, the business names, special skills of the staff, client profile, demographics of clients, how far they travel to the store, what's stored, etc. Current and historical management. See the detailed list below. Occupancy rate and variability or seasonality. Inventory list of furnishing, fittings, equipment, etc. Rules and method of enforcement. copy of rental agreements, rules, fire and emergency response plans, etc., and method of enforcement of each. Other considerations. Don't allow emotion to cloud your judgment and give equal consideration to potential problems with the business. Don't assume a problem business can be turned around overnight. It takes time, money, energy, focus, and commitment. Beware of changing things too quickly. Some customers may not like the changes and may respond negatively. Don't assume major customers will remain after the purchase. Don't use all your available cash for the purchase. Leave some reserves for working capital and contingencies. Management due diligence. Complete due diligence on the management intending to stay on after the sale. For example, for a storage shed business, it might be dedicated on-site management or off-site by the local real estate agent. Who manages the property and what are their roles and responsibilities? Read bookings, advertising, entry and exit inspections, complaints management, cleaning, income collection, periodic inspections, compliance inspections and reporting, etc. How long have they been the property manager? Fees and charges and when last increased. Record keeping and capacity to provide records, for example, a rental ledger, rental statements, entry and exit condition inspection reports, maintenance works completed, insurance claims, complaints register, etc. Structure of management, for example, who manages and historic turnover of property managers. Current management company vacancy rate versus the average for the area. Current management company advertising for rent period versus the average for the area. Availability of tradespeople and supplies for maintenance. Step 12, research opportunities. Review capacity to increase rent and add additional lettable areas. Is the rent under market and is there the potential to increase? Increasing the rent increases the yield and in turn increases the value of the property. It is not just the storage sheds themselves that you can rent, but also the hard stand areas surrounding, particularly for boats, jet skis, caravans, cars and the like. Investigate if the tenant wants improvements and if they will pay extra for them. For example, you may be able to fund the purchase of a piece of machinery for the tenant that makes them much more competitive and willing to sign a new lease or a longer lease. Step 13, your A team. The initial team. Commercial real estate agents, buyer's agents, general real estate agents. Lawyer that specializes in commercial property and leases, accountant. Business advisor or broker, finance broker or money lender. Specialist consultants that research specific types of properties, for example, childcare business consultants and storage shed business consultants that provide market, location, design and management specific research and advice. Industry bodies, for example, the Storage Shed Industry Association, that are a wealth of information. Larger franchise holders, for example, Storage King, will work with purchasers to identify potential sites, coordinate design, approvals, construction and management, although you need to have at least around $1 million to attract this type of partner. The subsequent team, property manager, leasing agent, specialist consultant, re-disability compliant design if required, building certifier, building and pest inspector, builder, tradespeople including plumber, electrician, valuer, town planner, building designer, land surveyor, insurance broker, depreciation report specialist, quantity surveyor, cleaner. The individuals. Look for individuals that specialize in commercial property and more specifically the type of commercial you are targeting. Ask for references or examples of their work or clients. Ask for a schedule of their fees and charges. Discuss the range of services that you will require from each individual. Ensure that professionals are members of professional associations where relevant. For example, the Builders Association, Law Society, Institute of Quantity Surveyors, etc. Ensure professionals are completely familiar with local and state regulations. Ensure all professionals have the necessary insurances and certification and request copies to ensure that they are current over the duration of your project. Ensure that they are in touch with the latest laws, innovations and developments within the industry. Ask what sub-consultants and contractors they use. ensure the individuals on your A team understand your time constraints and check on the progress of individuals to keep them on target. Step 14, feasibility analysis. Initial rough feasibility. Research the cost to purchase the property. Research the cost to hold the property. Research the cost to undertake required conversion works, repairs, maintenance, and renovation. Research the compliance costs. Research the income potential for the end product. Research the market value of the end product. Research the demand for the end product, rental and sale. Research the various exit strategies, for example, increase value and sell, hold long term, strata and sell off parts, etc. Research and create a realistic timeline of the project, including purchase, conversion, maintenance, renovation works if required, tenanting if vacant, etc. Complete rough feasibilities on the various options to do the deal and the various exit strategies. Complete due diligence on your capacity to finance the various strategies. For those properties where your initial due diligence and rough feasibility look promising, undertake a detailed feasibility. Detailed feasibility. Conduct cash flow analysis on the expected rental income, holding costs, and bank interest on 100% of the costs. Factor in a rental vacancy period to allow for tenant turnover, if that's expected. Conduct sensitivity analysis to determine the sensitivity of the cash flow to interest rate increases. Rental vacancy, unforeseen maintenance costs. There is no specific positive cash flow target, so you have to determine what profit you are prepared to accept for the money tied up, the time to complete the project, the risk, the ongoing management required, etc. Prepare numerous feasibility studies with varying rental rates and renovation options to confirm the preferred strategy. Talk to commercial agents, property managers, leasing agents, and real estate agents in your area to understand the previous, current, and future market, leasing and sale. If your feasibility studies show that your project is not financially viable, review the assumptions with your team, for example, property manager, leasing agent, builder. If it is still not viable, do not proceed. Continually update and review your detailed feasibility as your costs are updated with each new quote and as more information comes to light. Assess the tax implications of your project, for example, income tax, land tax, capital gains tax, and GST. Purchasing, finance fees and charges, compliance and renovation works. Property purchase cost. Due diligence costs, lawyer review of existing lease, accountant, business advisor's review of the financials and the business. Building and pest, builder and building certifiers assessment, specialist reports, conveyancing and title search fees. Stamp duty, these vary from state to state. Legal fees and miscellaneous legal fees, company establishment fees, buyer's agent fee, commission if applicable. Council rates and local authority fees or adjustments, valuation or appraisal fees by the lender, accountancy fees, compliance fees, design works, renovation and repair works. Income, rental rate, additional services and products sold, for example, packaging, locks, trailer hire, etc. Bond claimed, for example, security, deposit bond, key bond, etc. Operating costs. Interest on finance, property management fees, travel, advertising, phone, bookkeeping and accounting. Costs payable by the landlord as detailed in the lease, for example, council rates, insurances, body corporate fees if applicable, air conditioner maintenance, general site maintenance and repairs, annual inspections, works, for example, pest control, termite inspection, smoke alarm inspection, land tax if applicable, compliance costs, cleaning, rubbish removal, business operation costs if buying a business real commercial property. Step 15, choosing your site. Shortlist your preferred sites in order of preference. Enter negotiations on each as per step 16. Ensure ownership structure is set up. Ensure the ownership structure is set up that is suitable for the structure of the deal you are proposing, considering the financing, exit strategies, asset protection and tax implications. Types of structures include company, company discretionary trust, company hybrid trust, and company unit trust. Step 16, negotiating and settling on the property purchase. Initial stages of acquisition. Decide if you will negotiate the purchase or if you will use a buyer's agent. Approach each owner and ask relevant questions and listen. Don't accept the vendor's representation on face value. Be cautious, even skeptical, and ensure sales and figures and other important data are verified. Sign a confidentiality agreement for all information provided by the vendor and for the terms of the sale. Obtain the vendor's approval to deal directly with his or her accountant to expedite the process of the sale. Consider all information and determine a fair offer. Negotiating the property purchase. Negotiate through persuasion, not aggression. Educate the other party by knowing more about it and having more up-to-date information than the other party. Prepare an offer carefully in conjunction with your solicitor and begin negotiations. Counter offers are generally made by the purchaser after the valuers, accountants, lawyers and financiers, etc., have all looked at the property and the leases and addressed any issues. Expect the vendor to counter offer. The process can sometimes take considerable time before an unconditional contract is signed. Depending on the nature of the deal, there may be a separate purchase contract for the property and a separate purchase contract for the business and equipment, etc. Sign the deal there and then if you have made a decision and all the parties are in agreement. Ensure your contract is conditional and includes an opt-out clause just in case. Be specific about the terms and make sure they are to your advantage. Make sure that all of the sellers are present when negotiating to sign. Ensure that on the contract all names and addresses are spelt correctly, that all property details are correct, and that you understand all conditions and clauses. If the property is being sold leased, ensure that all the tenants' details are correct, whereas if the property is being sold with vacant possession, or you require vacant possession on settlement, ensure that this is noted on the contract. Include a special condition clause in the contract for the seller to sign building work and town planning applications if required. Negotiate directly with the owner of the property wherever possible. Confirm all instructions and negotiations in writing. Process upon acceptance of offer. On signing a contract, confirm with your solicitor if insurance cover is required. Deposit is paid to deposit holder and held in trust account. Original contract goes to the purchaser, you. Copy of the contract sent to the seller's lawyer. Ensure contracts have been sent to all parties involved. Take action on contract conditions and note condition due dates in a diary and comply with accordingly. Advise your financial broker or financier of the signed contract, provide them a copy and instruct to progress with finance approval. Keep vendor or vendor's agent informed regularly. Conditional phase. Instruct the solicitor to carry out all searches, including easements, covenants, caveats, and other encumbrances, etc. Meet on site with key team members to finalise due diligence. Carry out required inspections, tests, and reports, for example, building and pest, site survey, specialist reports like flood, disability, compliance, etc. Coordinate finance approval. Obtain quotes for all works required. Unconditional phase. Continue to obtain quotes for all works required. Engage contractors, consultants, etc. Consultants progress designs and reports if required. Conduct specialist assessments and reports if required. Lodge approval applications and compliance documents if required. Settlement phase. Liaise with the finance broker, financier, to ensure that they are prepared for settlement. Inspect the property a day or two prior to settlement to ensure it is in the condition that you expect it to be in based on the contract. Make sure your lawyer does a final land title search the day prior to settlement. If tenanted, check prior to settlement to ensure that the tenant has the new owner details and account details for rent payment. Have electricity account changed to your name if vacant possession on settlement. Step 17, finance. Securing finance. Determine your personal finance capability. Make a preliminary finance application. Look for a lender or broker that specialises in lending for commercial property. Ensure that you deal with a lender or broker that understands your needs. Ensure that contracts are subject to finance. Determine the funding terms and negotiate on them. For example, LVR, loan duration, principal and interest payments, and over what period, interest rate, changes, charges and fees, etc. Lodge your application with a commercial finance broker or department. Where possible, if it suits your strategy and lending capacity, get finance for the entire project, including renovation works if applicable. Make sure that you include all of the relevant documentation in your application. Advise the finance broker institution that the property is under contract and subject to finance and potentially other conditions. Provide them with a copy of the contract. Complete a finance application submission and present it to the broker. What to include in your application for finance. The size of the deal being financed will dictate the documentation to include in your application. For example, financing a larger commercial enterprise can range from full feasibility studies, business plan and SWOT analysis through to a comprehensive finance application. For example, cover page with pictures, executive summary, company summary, business plan, market analysis, industry analysis, strategy implementation including SWOT analysis, management summary, financial forecast including principal and interest payments if that is the likely financing model. Double check that all the figures are correct. Risk assessment. Supply a report of your financial history, assets and cash flow, and property experience. Get a copy of your credit report from a credit reporting body like VIDA and make sure it is correct. If there are any issues with your credit rating, ensure that they are cleared up prior to applying for finance. Offer the subject site as your security and be wary of cross-securitization with other property you own. Finance approval. Read and make sure you understand your loan documents and fees. Instruct your lawyer to perform title searches on the day of settlement. Arrange a time and date for your lender to present your check. If applicable, instruct contractors and consultants to book in a commencement of work immediately after settlement. Ask for written confirmation. Step 18. Undertaking conversion, renovation, maintenance works. Refer to the renovation section of Module 10 for a detailed checklist of the renovation process. Step 19. Compliance, development approval requirement. From your research in Step 8, demonstrate fulfillment of compliance requirements and lodge documentation for approval as required. If council development approval is required, refer to the development approval section of Module 10 for a detailed checklist of the process. Step 20. Advertising for lease. Prior to marketing your property, periodically research the other properties available that you will be competing against. What is their rental rate, days on the market, the quality of their photos, their copy and description. Discuss your property with your commercial agents, leasing agents, and request their feedback on rental price resistance levels for your type of product. What rental price would they recommend for your product? Current supply and demand, recommended marketing strategy, and marketing costs, if any. Record this data for future reference. Identify how you can make your property stand out. For example, professional photos, targeted copy that highlights your property. Decide on a rental price you can offer based on your research. Update your feasibility analysis with the proposed rental prices. Commencement of marketing. Prepare the written copy for your advertising, incorporating the features that will attract occupants based on your due diligence. Have professional photographs taken, including aerial view photos if appropriate. Monitor inquiries and prospective occupants, clients, visitors, feedback, so you can address as required. Follow up listing agent, property manager weekly for feedback on progress. Step 21, accounting and tax. Accounting and tax in general. Enlist the services of a qualified accountant that specialises in commercial real estate and business accounting. Determine the tax implications prior to buying the property so that you understand your obligations, for example, income tax, capital gains tax, GST on purchase, sale and rent, land tax. Confirm if the property is being sold as a going concern, as this will have GST implications. Put structures in place to minimise risk and maximise tax benefits. If you are doing significant renovation works, Discuss with the accountant if it is beneficial to have a depreciation schedule prepared prior to renovation works to maximise depreciation of the demolished items. Ensure that you have a depreciation schedule prepared for the finished product on completion of renovation works so as to maximise the tax benefits. Determine the bank account to be used for paying costs and for receiving rents. Create a system for filing invoices and recording all payments. Submit all relevant documents to your accountant annually or more regularly if required. Step 22, valuation and refinancing. On completion of the project and once you have a history of ownership, consider if it is appropriate to have the property revalued and refinanced. Discuss the revaluation and refinancing process with your mortgage broker and confirm the timing. For example, they may recommend a 6-month or 12-month gap between the purchase valuation and revaluation. Confirm the likely market value based on the rent and capitalisation rate and research in comparable sales and prepare relevant information for the valuer, including copy of leases and rental statements, plus information on the tenants, for example, occupancy, duration, terms, etc. Recent comparable sales and comparison to your property. Description of your property features, including list of completed renovation works, if applicable. Consider if it is appropriate for you to engage and pay for your own valuation prior to getting the bank valuation. Where possible, meet with every valuer on site and provide them with your research. If you have had your own valuation done and you are happy with it, provide it to the bank's valuer both prior to them arriving on site and at the site meeting. Step 23. Celebrate your learning and project review. Celebrate your learning and profit. At key milestones throughout the project, remember to celebrate your successes. On completion of the project, make time to celebrate your achievements, not only monetary, but also the learning that you had, the experience that you gained, and the personal development that you experienced. Project review. On completion of the project, undertake a review. Complete an actuals feasibility of the project, detailing the actual costs, income and cash flow, market value, etc. List down your learnings, what worked, what didn't work, what you would do differently next time, and how you could improve. Add the project learnings to your master checklist for this strategy so that you are continually improving on your process.